You have your Bibles today, or you got your tablets? If you don't have your Bibles, you should have your tablets. And if you don't have your tablets, we do have the screens. You can watch on the screens, and that's why we have the screens, so that you can follow along if you don't have a Bible. So that'll be a good extra. So praise God. Amen. Why don't we pray together? And the Bible says, when you stand praying, praise God. Amen. So let's go ahead and stand, pray. You can stand up and sit down, but let's go ahead and stand as an agreement today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand agreeing that this service will be a supernatural encounter. It won't be just another service, but we pray for a mighty anointing of the Spirit of God that will touch people's lives and change their lives forever. The Word of God is alive and powerful, quicker than any two-edged sharp sword. We thank you that it'll divide between soul and spirit. And discern is a discerning of the intents of the heart. And so we thank you, Lord, that give us clarity by the Holy Spirit. We ask that everyone here would receive their revelation and get their knowledge that they need today. So praise God that all prayers that are given to you in faith shall be answered. Those that are sick shall be healed. Those that need direction will find guidance. Thank you. And wayward children and husbands will come home. We thank you, Lord God, for the money that they need. We'll begin to move forward to them, and that they'll get the job done, whatever they need. We give you praise that we stand here happy, whole, and healed. We give you praise, Father, for those that are watching online, that they will receive the same like here in the name of Jesus. We give you praise before we see anything or feel anything in advance, because you are a God of faith. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. So turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to give you a few scriptures. My tablet is acting up a little bit. So, okay, Matthew chapter 18. I do have everything on my notes, but I like to get the different facets of. So our topic today is basically on the general subject of prayer, but we're going to talk about different aspects to our approach to prayer. But I want to stick to some of the more elementary truths of praying together, because sometimes we miss the point. Last week, I think we talked about when does our prayer work for other people? And so we spent some time talking about, the prayer of faith will always work for you, but it might not work for everybody else. Might not work for your brother, your children, but it will work for you. But there's different aspects to prayer, and generally lots of people that I've met over the years are not comfortable. They don't understand the different laws of faith and spiritual laws that actually make their prayers work. So I'll go back where just a little bit from Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to explain something just a little bit more for some people who don't hear this normally, because I don't like to miss people. And because all the time, you get saved, people have been here for a while, and other people need to hear what you know. And plus, hearing the word again on an area will help you remember things and just help the process to stand stronger, even though you know something is good to be reminded. So let's go ahead and read Matthew 18:18, and let's go ahead and read 19 and 20 along with it, just to get a good full context of it. We won't read all the chapter around it, but let's go to Matthew chapter 18. So we're going to talk about prayer of agreement or prayer in agreement. And this is praying with other people, another person, let's just say, more specifically. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Matthew 18:19-20. I want to propose to you this idea, and that is that it doesn't take a crowd or a bunch of people to get your prayer answered. It only takes one person in faith to get your own prayer answered. And it may take, sometimes it takes two or three people to help you in your prayer, whatever you're agreeing on. So we have to find Jesus is actually making a distinction in prayer. He is talking about prayer. But he's making a real distinction in terms of how this prayer agreement works. And I want to say some things in a more of a practical way, because lots of people run around and they ask me sometimes running through the mall, agree with me, and they don't understand what they're doing, what they're trying to say, because I don't know what I'm supposed to agree on. And I don't know if I can agree with it. Because sometimes people ask something that's out of context, out of the context of God's word. And you can't ask anything out of the context of God's word, because God's not going to hear you. He's not going to pay attention to your silliness or my silliness or, something that's not going to be right. And I want to kind of emphasize that by just saying some things that I heard given to me as an example, which is really extremely outside of the will of God. But we'll keep that for later. So it doesn't take a whole crowd to get your prayer answered. Now, just because your prayer doesn't manifest that second or that particular time, it doesn't mean God didn't hear you. It didn't mean that God didn't answer you. And sometimes people believe, they put time limits on how and when this should happen. And if you don't understand spirit, soul, body, and you don't understand the laws of faith, you will get mixed up by the enemy speaking to your mind and giving you all kinds of ideas of why your prayer couldn't work and why it's not happening right away. So then you give up. You have to know other facets of prayer or walking by faith other than just the mechanics of prayer. And that is, the Bible talks about 2 Corinthians 10:4, 5, and 6, I believe it is, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, casting down, and he talks about in there that the reasonings and arguments that we have in our heads why things don't work. And so it don't work by natural or carnality. It doesn't work whether you feel like it or not. Whether you feel God answered you, it has no bearing on how you feel or what you're looking at. Are you here this morning? Okay, because we see so much failure in terms of prayer, and people, because they have to wait 6 months for something important, they give up. And so they scramble around asking everybody else to pray for them. And then people think that if I can get enough people to pray, I'm going to get my prayer answered. If I can get everybody on Facebook to pray for me, I'll put a prayer request out. First of all, you shouldn't be putting all your personal issues on Facebook. And that's how the devil comes in your life. He's going to mess that up. So I would never put personal issues about prayer that's important to me online. There's too much trouble. I would never do it. Now, I might qualify that one day, but right now I would never do it. So there are some things that you keep to yourself. It's between you and God. And let me ask you something. How many Christians does it take to answer your sick relatives' prayer? How many of them? Six? 100. So we're going to get right down to the basics so that you understand and quit acting silly about prayer and start being responsible for your own prayer life. Because lots of people are not responsible. They're running around Christians everywhere that are actually old in the Lord, never heard of this. They think I'm teaching something outside of the Bible. I'm teaching what the scriptures are saying. See, people want everybody else to do it for them. And they don't know, when they do stuff like that, tells me they don't know what they're doing. So somebody comes around like myself, tells them, challenges their thinking, they think I'm being mean. No, I'm trying to shake you so that you can keep your life and help somebody. Glory to God. Now, you know, I feel like my job as a teacher, not over here as well, but all over Canada, my job is to teach online. God put me on television so that I can teach across Canada. Hallelujah. That's why God put me here. And I'm not doing this on Spirit Live because I felt I should be on television. I don't want to be on television. And so we have this occasion to do this, and I've been able to say, God, you know, I'll take it with trembling. Because I know how hard it is. I mean, if you're responsible every month for all those that money coming in, getting all the camera work and people and all the kinds of teachings that have to be on television, it's not fun after 6 months. You know, so you should continue to pray for me, because there are certain things that you have to pray about, certain things you just pray on your own. Like when you're praying for the church, you have to continually pray for the church. Everybody has to do that. That's all our responsibility, to get the job done. It's not my own personal life. So when we look at scriptures, we have to see, okay, so what context we're asking everybody to pray, and what part of it am I supposed to be responsible for? Jesus said, when you go to your closet and pray, he's talking about your personal life. Ask to the Father my name. So there's some things that you do pray for as a group. And that's called corporate prayer or group prayer. And so there's certain times we use that, like when there's a big crisis in the church or in the nation. So we don't have a crisis in the nation, so we're not going to have to pray corporately all the time. So some people, you might have to, if God directed a pastor, say for instance, or a church, and he said, I want you to get people together and start praying for this area here or something, then there's a different, slight difference. He's not going to tell you to get a bunch of people pray for your sick aunt. That's a little bit, where's the context of that in the scripture? I don't see it. Jesus never said, okay guys, we need to pray for Lazarus. I want you to just go ahead and fast and do this. So we have to see the scripture the way it is. And so it's based on principle. So, you know, we have to make some correction. So Ephesians 6:18, let's just go there for a second, because it's important that we get some basic elements, because we do have people that maybe have never heard. And I always am concerned as a pastor that people get the right, you know, get pushed in the right direction. So Ephesians 6:18, and this is something that we use many times. Now, that's not on my notes, guys, because I'm just going to follow my heart here for a second. Sometimes the guys back there have a hard time following, because I do get off my notes a lot of times. Okay, Ephesians 6:18, and this is part of what they call the armor of God. So most of the armor there is defensive, and some of them are offensive. And basically, most of the time, it's the prayer one is where you put into work. But when we pray, I like when Dave reminds us. He says that we pray, you know, from a winning standpoint. So Ephesians 6:18, he says, praying always. This is the King James. Praying always with all prayer. Then he says, and supplications, or and supplicating in the Spirit. So praying with all prayer and supplicating in the Spirit. Supplicating in the Spirit is praying with the leading of the Holy Spirit, and praying usually in tongues. Because if you see other scriptures that say that, he said supplicating in the Spirit is actually, the Bible interprets itself in Corinthians, it says supplicating in the Spirit is actually praying in tongues. Or praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, the best way to get in the Spirit is pray with tongues, pray from the inside out. Because your head has nothing to do with this kind of praying. It's the Holy Spirit praying in with your spirit over a certain area. But you have to have faith and believe the Holy Spirit will do that, and know other scriptures that he actually does that. He's an intercessor. You say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray for this area, so I'm going to pray in tongues about this area, about this need, so I don't know what to do. You know what to do, so I'm going to, by faith, pray in this area, so please help me. And you, and he'll pray for you. He'll help you pray that area. Because we're limited with our minds because we only see certain things. We only know certain things. We only have certain information. But the Holy Spirit knows everybody, everywhere, all the time, because he's God. He knows every single person, every single thought. And if that blows your mind, well, stick around. We'll blow it some more because there's more stuff to learn in the scriptures. He says, praying always with all prayer. So we took that phrase, it says all prayers. So the Amplified Bible says praying with all kinds of prayer, or all manner of prayer, some say. All manner of prayer and all kinds of prayer. So just not just one kind of praying, there's more than one kind. One kind of praying is the prayer of faith, when you pray by yourself, or prayer of consecration like Pastor Ken got us to do this morning. And that is, we should dedicate ourselves every day to God afresh. Or when you remember, you tell God, Lord, I'm yours. You're driving down the road, Lord, I'm yours. My life is yours. Whatever I have is yours. My money is yours. My time is yours. If you want to use my time, take it. That's the prayer of consecration that we do every day. That's what it means, praying always. So you're always acknowledge the fact that I'm going to... You know, give my heart to God, and I want to be in the will of God. I don't want to just do my own thing. I just want to fly around, do whatever I want to do, because I want to just get pleasure out of it. No, it's fine. It's fine to have fun and stuff, but, if God's calling you to do something, then you need to do that. So thank God for his written word. God's a good God. So he says, praying always with all prayers. So there's all kinds of prayers. So one of the kind of prayers that we need to learn is learning to pray with another individual. Sometimes we need help to pray about a need. Sometimes your prayer, you don't feel that sure, or you sense you're not that strong. So you ask someone like your wife or somebody, can you pray with me about this area? Or your pastor, somebody who really knows or cares about you, somebody who actually is an elder, sort of spiritually, can pray with you. And sometimes we make the mistake of casually doing that, and we miss the point. Because we don't always, we say things like this, pray, agree with me, and then we walk away. So it's more than just that. There's more than just agreeing with you. So we have to see it in light of what the scripture is saying here. So there's all kinds of prayers. This is the point I'm trying to make here. There's more than one kind of praying. Generally speaking, there's two kinds of prayer. One is praying out of your head. And that is praying what you know. Secondly, is praying about what you don't know. You don't know anything about what is needed as far as God's will is concerned. You don't have scripture on it, or you don't know, like you can't find a scripture. If you felt you want to move to Vancouver, you didn't know. You don't know whether it's your flesh or whether you're being influenced by something. You want to move to, you just felt you need to move to Vancouver. I'm not talking about you. So you want to move to Vancouver, and you don't know what to do. There's no scripture to it. But you do have scripture for healing. God says he's healed everybody. But you have scripture for that. You don't have to pray in tongues for that. Amen. I'm talking about you. You might pray in tongues for somebody else who's sick, because you don't know what the hindrances are over there, because the Holy Spirit does. So you don't know to go to Vancouver. So you have to say, Lord, I don't know whether or not you want me to go to Vancouver, but my life is yours. I'm consecrating my life to you. I've got these decisions to make. I don't know if I'm unconsciously basing my decision on praying or at least taking a job or moving there because it's just a purely economic and financial decision I'm making. Outside of your will, you maybe got something else for me to do. Because a lot of times we do make decisions purely from a financial standpoint. And we have to make those decisions all the time. You have to be smart with your money, and you have to be able to do something, take care of your money. Don't just spend, if you could spend it, live within your means, right? Live in faith, and don't be extravagant and trying to pretend you're something you're not. Just stay within your means, and then you get all stressed out because you did something, bought something, outside of your own faith level. And you blame the devil. No, it was you. You're the one that caused the stress, not the devil. Now he's jumping on you because you made a wrong decision. Now you're in trouble. Now you're crying, God, get me out of this. He'll get you out of it, but it's going to take some time. So that's why we have to pray in tongues. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know if I should move to Vancouver. So I'm going to just say, your will be done here. And I'm going to pray in tongues whether or not this should happen. And by faith, I'm going to release my faith in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in tongues, my spirit, my inner man prays by the Holy Spirit within me. Romans 8:26-28 says that when I pray in tongues, I'm praying in line with the will and purpose of God. I'm praying with the purposes of God. So thank God that we can pray with the purpose of God. It might not be your purpose, you might not like it, but God, to God be the glory. So we're talking on some elementary truth. I think we can all see that. I mean, we need to know, be reminded of these at least. So let's be reminded again. And again I say unto you, Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything except my marriage. He didn't say that. He didn't say except church things. Except my healing or someone's healing. No, anything is anything. If you can get somebody to agree with you, it can be done. And we complicate it, and then we pray. We pray that prayer. We leave that prayer time, and then we get attacked in our mind. Then we get them all emotional. Then we get out of whack, and then we start scrambling again. Then the next guy, you ask the next guy to do the same thing with you, and you do it until I don't know, you can't do it anymore. And then you're confused. Now, why didn't that work? So we want to find agreement. Agree on something. All you have to do is agree. So many people think, as I mentioned earlier, many people think if I can just get a whole number of people, get 1,000 people or 2,000 to pray about this thing that I have, if I can get a whole bunch of people, then I'm going to get it. I'm sure to get it. Somebody's going to have it. Or God, because we're so strong to get it in our prayer, God is going to have to relent. We can force his arm. So this is kind of conjuring in my mind. I'm thinking about what we do. We think naturally about this. I don't know, has anybody ever thought like that besides me? Because maybe I'm just the only crazy guy here. No, because I think I've seen it happen, and I've seen pastors do it. I've seen ministers do it. Evangelists or whatever, they do stuff like this. And so we have to see, thank God for his mercy, right? Thank God for his mercy. So it's legitimate things we pray about, but there's a lot of things that we don't have to pray about that the Bible already says it's yours. So if we know the covenant, what belongs to us, then we don't have to do those things, those silly things like running around asking everybody about praying for what you should be taking care of yourself. Because someone else's spiritual life is not your problem. If they're not taking care and taking opportunity to read the books that we give them or someone gives them or someone told them to do and study for themselves, then it's their problem when they get into trouble. We offer Bible school here. We offer prayer. We have teaching sessions in the week. I had someone last night call me before I'm heading home late at night from the hospital. And I had to go to someone's house at someone's hotel room at midnight to pray, and then called me back the next day and pray. And sure, I went over and prayed. I want to help somebody. I want to assist somebody. So I went and prayed, and prayed again this morning, asked me this morning to pray for something else. But I said, I thought you're coming over. I'll pray for you at church when I see you. I said, no, I'm not coming to your church. I'm going to another church. Duh. Well, get them to pray for you. And let them call them at 3 o'clock in the morning. It seemed like some ministers, they ask me for money. Our ministry will write a check and help them out for certain times. But they're going to another church. Well, ask them to come and help you there. When next time you hold a conference, ask them to help you. Yeah. You see, no commitment. I say, I'm going over here. They offered me something. No, well, listen, don't call me 3 o'clock in the morning again. Call them. Call Brother so-and-so at that church and let him come visit you and pray for you. So you understand why this irked me? They want my time, they want my money, but they won't come and sit down and listen to me when I'm actually teaching them what they need to know. And we have Wednesday night teaching. We have maybe some 80, 100 people show up on Wednesday night sometime. Most of the time, 85, 90, and we want to get it up to at least 150 people at least here on Wednesday nights. We'll get there. But it's getting the people to think about, they need to understand the Word. They need to love the Word more than anything else. And we have a huge problem in our city because people don't love the Word as much as they say. They don't love Jesus as much as they say they do. They don't make time for it. They're just too busy. When there's opportunity for them to do that. So, you know, us teachers have this kind of problem because if I was had a different ministry and kind of like, like a signs and wonders, you'd fill the crowd up. But you won't teach. You won't be able to teach them, but you'll fill the crowds up. People will keep coming, but you won't get them to be trained. Because people like excitement. I like excitement. That's what the Lord said to me in 1998. He said to me, he shook me, he said to me, I don't want you ever to do those kind of meetings ever again. Don't do that again. Okay? And that's the kind of meetings we were doing. I enjoyed it. Man, we just have people flying around drunk and just weeping and shaking and snot everywhere. I mean, it was fun just falling over the places and you see comical things happening and it felt good. Oh, it felt wonderful. But nobody was really growing. They were just depending on the enthusiasm and the charisma that was going on. Brother Higgins said over there in the 47 to 58, there was a healing revival going on. And a lot of those evangelists died because they didn't know how to walk by faith. They were depending on the anointing. Well, I don't want to be part of that. I want to be the part of the people who stay long in ministry and because they depend on the Word, not some gifting. So it scared me. And so... I remember I was called to go to another meeting to do a meeting. They didn't want me to do a revival because they knew the kind of meetings we were having. And when the Lord changed me in process, I said, I can't do that kind of meeting anymore. They got mad at me because I don't want to do all the Holy Ghost meetings because the Lord said to me, go teach. And so my invitations started to go down because I wasn't doing that anymore. Because I had to teach. See, people don't like teaching as much, you know. I mean, I try to be a good teacher. I do my best. I study every day regularly, 24 hours a day. I'm always on the Word doing something. Try to find out, listen to other people and listen to different comments, commentary, read the Bible. And so, but if you do the Holy Ghost type meetings, or you put a band up here every day, they'll be coming. You just fill the whole room up with music. But they don't need music. They need Jesus. They need the Lord. So that's why we have only four songs just to wet your whistle. Sunday morning. Seriously, I learned this from the Higgins and those people. They said, listen, you don't have to have 1 hour worship service. I tell the guys that worship services here, I said, you guys take way too long. My feet are hurting, my back's sore. And by the time we start preaching, everybody's tired. So what's the main purpose Sunday morning is to get the Word.
That's right.
and to teach people the scripture and get in the word. Like, you, if you sat down and you went to Keith Moore's church, I guarantee you, you'd be sitting for an hour every service, an hour and one and a half hour, an hour and a half. If you go to Kenneth Copeland's church, you're going to sit there for 2 hours, listen to him three times a day. And you wonder why he's a spiritual giant, because he gets to the word. Like, you don't run a marathon just because you want to that weekend. But you learn to have that stamina and stay long. And you, but you do get prayers answered. But you're all of a sudden you're confident. You get a little cocky. And, you know, you're not afraid. You know, so I told my wife, I said, I ain't afraid of the devil. I ain't afraid of the devil one bit. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. And all of us need to have that confidence that we're not afraid of him. We're not afraid of him. He's defeated. Jesus has given us victory. He has no authority to attack you. Right? He has no authority to attack you. You are protected in his blood. Be walking with God. Have confidence in him. Now, he's going to try his best. He said, well, he's going to kill me. Well, why didn't he kill you already? You're still here. Because he can't. Okay, I'm got off topic. Kind of really got off here. So, well, some people persist in, to seek out many more people praying for them and fail to get the Bible promises, seemingly trying to convince God to give them what he's already given them. So, Mark 11:23, as we said last week, we can't push our desire on someone else. You can't push healing on someone else. You can't push anything else on someone. They have to want to have whatever. When praying the prayer of agreement, you have to get someone else's agreement on what you're asking God to do. Your prayer only will be effective or successful based on what the Bible principles and Bible rules. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. Believe what? Believe that you receive it. When you're praying. And you shall have it. Shall is present tense. But I have to believe I have it now. Right now, when I pray, I have to believe I have the promise now. So that's why I ask you, what promise are you believing when you're praying? Because faith is a confidence. If you don't have scriptures, you don't have confidence. Somehow, that God gives you confidence when you have scripture, that's called faith. They say, well, you don't seem to be any better. Like, what do you, the doctor says you actually are getting worse. Well, no, I'm basing it on the scripture. It doesn't, my prayer doesn't depend on what the doctor said. See, you have to get to that level where you understand that, because then it scares you when you start talking like this to people because they don't know. Thank God. Let's move on very quickly. So, believe that you receive, you shall have them. So that's your desire. You can't push someone else's desire, and you can't just go around trying to heal people that have unbelief. You can't do it. You can't push your desire for someone to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? You can't. You can't push anything. It's just in the natural. I just saw someone over there having convincing somebody to do something. They didn't want to do it. I think about God doing that with us. And I thought about Pastor Kent when I saw that, because he said his mom took him out and showed him some things at church. Yeah, turn him around. And but you know, sometimes when God wants you to do something and then you go kicking and screaming, and it was actually something good he wanted you to do. But you weren't convinced because that shiny little thing looked good over there, whatever you wanted to do. So you can't push your desire on someone else. When you're praying with someone, you have to have agreement. Jesus said, if two of you agree on earth. So whatever you're praying about, it has to be agreement. You have to get someone's agreement. Sometimes you might have to play a little trick on them. And that is that you have to make them make a faith confession to change the law that they've set from their heart and through their mouth. Yes. Grab your hand and say, let's pray. Would you pray with me? Would you allow me to pray for you about that situation? Oh, yeah, okay. I know you might not believe this right away, but let's pray anyway and say this. Yeah. And believe as much as you can. Amen. See, say, thank God. Say, Lord, pray. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're the God of all creation. And they repeat that and they say, you know, I thank you that it's not your will for me to be sick. And Lord, forgive me for saying things that are not in line with your word concerning this area. And Lord, I thank you for healing based on your promises and God's word. I thank you. Yeah. And you're changing the law of faith. Amen. And then they say, okay, amen. Yeah, that's man, you lock in with that. Now, you know, you understand the spirit, soul, and body business? Your head doesn't always agree with your spirit. There's, when there's a spiritual fight, your head is always fighting. That's your soul fighting with your heart. And that's where the fight is. Is the spiritual fight is in the head. Because when you start thinking negative, and all you see is negative, and the devil will give you negative pictures all the time so that you can see it in black and white, and color, and purple, and blue, whatever. And then you see that, and all of a sudden your emotions are moving, and you're feeling, you get lower and lower as you focus on that problem. The longer you focus on the sickness, the longer you focus on not getting the answer in your head, the weaker you get. That's why the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the things which we are not seeing. So you fix your eyes on the promises. You say, I know, devil, I know this is not working. It doesn't seem like it's working. It seems like I'm losing right now. Everything we prayed about is going north or south, whatever. South. Yeah, fail is down there. I know it is. It appears that way, like you're winning, but you're not. God is on the throne. God heard my prayer. Yeah. And you fight back. Yeah. And that's why, you know, Mark Hankins, he said, never run to your giant with your mouth closed. Right. When he ran to his giant, he ran to Goliath, his enemy. He spoke out. He said, what do you want me to do? I'm going to cut your head off. Yeah. And I'm going to feed your carcass. The birds of the air is going to air, or whatever, the birds are going to eat your body up. Not a very nice guy. Okay. So Matthew 18 says, if you agree on earth, that's pretty plain, isn't it? So as long as two people here on earth can stand here and agree on something that they pray about, that's where we start. Okay. Pastor Ken, stand up for a second. Stand over here. How many would agree with me? That is Pastor Ken. Yeah. Okay, go sit down. So we just agreed that is Pastor Ken. Yeah. That's all it takes to agree on something. Wow. That's all you need to do is agree on that. Now, people are complicated. Oh, I agree on this. If this happens and if that happens. No, we are agreeing on what we want here. You want healing? Yes, I agree. Healing. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And then after that, it gets all complicated and muddied up with all kinds of thoughts. Is that really Pastor Ken? Maybe that's not him. And that's what happens in prayer. You know, you could experience seeing Jesus, and next couple of days, in the natural, you say, I don't know, was that real or not? I've had experiences, and I come back, and I said, was that real? Even when I was so filled with the Holy Spirit, had an encounter with the Spirit, and then, I mean, when I got filled, I was filled. I didn't just pray, rattle a few tongues. I was going, man. I was all on a tangent. I was like in the realm of the Spirit, praying in tongues, like many waters, like it said. And it was like gushing waters. It felt like gushing waters. I couldn't stop it. Seemed like I had no control, but I loved it. I wanted that to control my life, that feeling. And after I'm driving down the road, the devil said, that never happened to you. I said, oh, okay. It seemed to be really convincing. It didn't happen to me. Remember that doctor, pastor doctor, he's got a PhD. He told you this is not for today. And he started listening to reason. That's why it says casting down reasonings. Amen. And imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that wasn't really consistent with the Bible, that I didn't have that. So I did have it. So agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done. So somebody on earth, God needs, why did he say on earth? Because God needs somebody on earth here to move. He needs permission to do something on earth. God just doesn't do anything he wants to do unless he's given us that authority to have him work in our lives. You have to have authority for someone else to work on their lives. You can't just pray out of your head. Now, you might have to pray in tongues to get something going on that to make things line up. Somehow God does that when you pray in the Spirit. That's another prayer. So this is what John Wesley says. You know, he was the guy that the Methodist movement, he started that. I think him and his brother did. John White and Charles White, Charles Wesley. He said that it seems that God is limited by our prayers, and he cannot do something for humanity unless someone first asks him. That's what he said. I mean, this is a revivalist, and he said that we need to ask God to do something. God's not going to just move. You have to ask God. That's why he said, if anyone agree on earth, that's touching anything. So God needs legal access to your life and the life of other people so that he can start moving in your life. So that's when you walk by and say, agree with me, agree with me. This is not that easy. Hey, wait a minute, let's talk about this for a second. Casually. So agree with me. So now he says, what did he say here? If two agree on earth is touching anything, let's go back to the scripture for a second. He says, again, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What heaven is he talking to? About, I mean. You know, we talk about heaven. He says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So is heaven where God is he holding back something? Can we just bind something that God, where God is living, so he can start releasing it? Is that what he's talking about? So we have to let Bible interpret Bible, not with our mind to say, okay, bind in heaven, that doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it, but let's just try this. Bind this. You know, bind whatever. So notice, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Now, he says, heaven, what heaven is it? What is he referring to that needs to be bound? Is there anything that needs to be bound in heaven where God is? Well, absolutely not. Heaven is absolutely a wonderful place where there's absolute freedom, blessing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4, he interprets this heaven. He says, I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. So listen to this. If you died, you couldn't tell whether you're in your body or not. Hallelujah. You can tell, if you fell dead right now and you're in the spirit, you couldn't tell whether you're here, whether you're still had in your body or not. That's how real it is. Hallelujah. And he says, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. So there's a third heaven. What's ever bound on earth? Is that what he's talking about? Is this heaven? No. I knew him as such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell. God knows how that one was caught up to paradise. So he interprets that heaven he's talking about right here, where God is, it's called paradise. Certainly not. He's not talking about binding something from heaven, because you couldn't do that. It would be impossible. God wants to bless us. He says, Jesus told his disciples, pray, thy will be done as it is in heaven. He's asking us, he wants a little heaven on earth in our lives. He wants us to have blessings to come to us. So he couldn't be talking about binding something in heaven. So there is a heaven that where demonic forces are active. You know, they'll influence leaders and people to affect more than just one person. And I bet, I'm not going to be a betting man here today, but I bet most people here have had evil influences many, many times. If you say no, you're a liar. Because you've had many times people, you could have a lot of things that come to your mind, and you obeyed it. It wasn't really like killing somebody, but you opened your mouth in the wrong place. That wasn't God telling off that police officer or blowing up on somebody. That ain't God. So you yield at times. You let your flesh be influenced by a different spirit. And that's happening all the time, and we think we're so holy because our unrenewed minds, when we don't renew ourselves in us, in our soul, then we start falling into these things, making trouble for our own selves. Our flesh does. That's why we're taught to have our spirit stronger than an outward man. So he's talking about heaven. God's listening for our prayers. Right now, 1 Peter 3:12 says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them who do evil. So right now, according to 1 Peter 3:12, that God is listening for you to pray to him. He's looking around for someone to pray here so that he can do something good. The prophet Ezekiel said God was looking for just one man who would stand in the gap that he would bring his mercy on the scene. He didn't say he was looking for 20,000 people so he could bring his mercy and help people. He said he was just looking for one person. And prophetically, we know he's talking about Jesus here, but there's a principle that lies in here that actually, for us, sometimes you can't find somebody to agree with you. Sometimes you might have to stand alone and change something. Well, who did Abraham have to run to? He changed the nation. I wish I could change the nation. Here's Ezekiel 22:30. Said, I sought for a man among them that I should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. So we know that standing in a gap is what we call also called intercession. When you stand in the gap for someone, you're standing between God's judgment and someone who deserves judgment. It could be a Christian or an unbeliever. So you stand in the gap because sometimes Christians go too far out, they can't get back on their own. They get out there and they somehow the devil controls their mind or something, their soul is really wrapped in indecision, and they keep making wrong decisions. So you have to stand in the gap for someone and ask God's mercy. So God says, I'm looking for a man who would stand in a gap so that this person doesn't get judged. So we need to stand in the gap for some people, perhaps our family members, friends, or whatever communities, whatever, and ask and believe God. Ezekiel prophet said, God is looking for a man. The prophet Ezekiel said, God is looking for at least one person who would stand in the gap. This term is often described as an intercessor. The ultimate intercessor is Jesus. He stood in the gap for us sinners, bringing God's mercy upon our lives so that we can be set free from sin. Therefore, I will divide a portion with, here's Isaiah 53:12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. This is Jesus. He will divide the spoil with the strong because he had poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for transgressors. This is talking about Jesus Christ. And when we pray for someone, I don't know if you have had intercession for somebody, but I was told some people who pray, they kind of sense the same sickness as those people and the pain that they have, and they pray. Like, I've never had that experience. I don't want one. But if I have to have one, I'll take one if I have to help somebody. So today, Jesus is still interceding for us. It says in Romans 8:34 that he's still making intercession for us. Who does condemn it? Christ is the one that died. Yeah, rather, as Christ, right again, who is even at the right hand of God, Jesus is, who also makes intercession for us. He's still there interceding as our high priest. You know, as our high priest, Jesus, all the other priests were abolished. it shows us in Hebrews that Jesus is our high priest right now. When you pray to God in the name of Jesus, Jesus is right there at the right hand of the Father, making sure your prayer is going to be answered. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 3 that Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Of whatever you say, he's there. Whatever you say, he's there to make sure that comes to you. He said, Jeremiah 1:12 said, I watch over my word to make sure it comes good in your life. Jesus said, whatsoever you say, you shall have. He's standing there right at the right hand of the Father, said that whatever you say will come to you. The creator of the universe. I realize it's getting a little bit late. I want to finish this. I know the chicken is boiling, burning. I'll make sure I do this real quick. So there are times when we need to stand in the gap. There's other people out there who can't reach out to God for whatever reason right now, and that's why when God asks you to stand for them, it might take some time to stand for people. It's going to take some gumption from you not to fall apart while you're standing for somebody. Yeah. It takes one person who would just pray. God needs someone to stand on earth in faith to reach out for an opportunity for God to move on the scene. Heaven will move if earth will ask, as we saw. Holy Spirit is our helper to intercede. He'll help us as well. And so he said, I look for someone. I search for somebody, he says, Ezekiel 22:30. I search for somebody, he says, to stand in the gap so I wouldn't destroy. I think some people's lives are destroyed because someone would not stand in the gap. It took one bold man. God used Abraham to save Sodom and Gomorrah right away. Eventually it got destroyed, but God prayed to have these people get some help. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham? This is over there. You have that on the screen? Genesis 18:17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. The Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now whether they have done according to the cry of it, which is come to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. This is the angels there. But Abraham stood, notice this, but Abraham yet stood before the Lord. Now he's making intercession. And Abraham drew near. He went into the presence of God. And he says, this is what Abraham said. What nerve did he ever have? He tell God this. He said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He's questioning, he's praying and asking God. When someone is interceding like that, they know God's character, they know about the laws of faith, and they can go and tell God. Yeah. In fact, God tells us, invites us, come on, argue your case. Yeah. Yeah. He says that in Isaiah, come and argue your case with me so that we can get this settled. You know, God sometimes tells you, let's argue about this. Yeah, he will. He invites you. He said, Abraham says, are you going to destroy all these people with the wicked? You're going to destroy all these people? And pre-adventure, is there 50 righteous within the city? Will thou also destroy and not spare the place of 50 righteous therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. Be far from thee, shall not the judge of all earth do right? The Lord said, if I find Sodom 50 righteous in this city, then I will spare that place for their sakes. God was going to spare. He would spare that. And he went on and on and on and on. Listen to this. If he would have said, if just one guy in there, God would have done it. But he went on and on. And I think he did tell 20. What about 20? Okay, yes, I do. He made an agreement. He said, I'll do it. So this guy is standing in the gap. He's interceding. He's praying. You know, we have to understand. So I'm talking about here prayer of agreement and intercession at the same time. So you don't just pray one thing and call it one prayer. And sometimes he said praying with all prayers. When you pray one prayer, then you invite other prayers to come in. Sometimes before you pray, you need to repent first. If you're praying for somebody and your life is not right, then you maybe God has to ask you to repent of all these things that he has been dealing in your heart before you can be confident. Because you can't go to God with confidence if your life is not right yourself. If you have a little sin, a little white sin, a little white, now God's going to have to deal with you with that. Because your heart condemns you. And the reason why a lot of people don't pray confidently is because they have problems in their own life, spiritual problems, like sin or something. And they can't pray boldly. So it doesn't take a crowd. Ezekiel said one guy. Jesus said you could take two people. It says here in Genesis, it took one man to believe for 50 people. Not 50 people for one man. But one man for 50 people, to save 50 people from being judged. So what's your problem? What's the Facebook problem? Okay, so I'm just going to challenge you because sometimes, you know, somebody that, if any of my staff do that, I'll fire them. They don't belong walking with me because we're not walking together because we're a faith church. We believe the word. When we say faith church, we're standing on the word. That's what we mean. So we stand on God's word. I got some other information here that you need to learn about, and that's about the righteous man's prayer. The Bible says Elisha was one man. One man, and he prayed, and he changed the weather. Yeah. Yeah. Lynette, she prays for the weather camp meeting. Oh, and she cries. You know, we have fun with Lynette Hagen. So Isaiah 43:26 says, put me in remembrance and let us plead together. Let's argue your case, as you would like a lawyer. Plead. You know, when you plead the blood, you're pleading the covenant. That's why you put the blood by faith in the blood. You have to have faith in the blood. Jesus said, when I see the blood, I will not let the destroyer destroy you. So that's, you have to apply the blood to your car, your house. All the moose on the highway that you're going to race, that Pastor Ken used to do, Lord, I apply the blood all the way to Geraldton and back. Amen. Every moose, every fox on the highway, I'm applying the blood going there and back. Yep. Believe in God. Amen. And we never had one problem with that, except for police officers. He forgot to apply the blood on the police. Let's close because I have so much more to say, but you cannot bear it. Did you enjoy that? Yeah. Who enjoyed that? Yeah. Let's go ahead and stand up. Well, thank God that some of them. Lord, I want to thank you today that we can actually stand in the gap. We can agree in prayer, and if we can't find anybody to agree in prayer, we have the Holy Spirit, and we're never at loss with praying. So thank you today, Lord, that we're as a church. Okay. As a church, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that this whole process of prayer that we need to learn more. We need to be reminded of things that we already know and begin to practice it and be encouraged to practice it. Many people don't know that. But it's a time to just review. And I remember Peter preaching and Apostle Peter said, you know, I know you know these things, but I'm going to remind you as long as I'm here. So, Lord, you're doing that again. You're reminding people. They know these things. They've heard this, and they read the books, and they went to the seminar, so to speak, and they heard that. But they're going to put into practice again. They're not going to just casually say, agree with me. So, no, they're going to, it's just not that. We're going to agree, pray, and believe. Not just agree, but pray. Ask. The prayer is not done unless we ask what we agreed on in Jesus' name. So thank you that we can agree, that we can pray, and we can believe and receive what we've asked for. So thank you today, Lord. If two of you agree on earth, so I agree with everyone according to the Bible. If they come in line with this prayer again, that healing belongs to everyone in this room. I send out my agreement with everyone here that's believing for healing. I agree with them right now. You're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Not based on any other evidence other than the fact that 1 Peter 2:24 says you are. Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4-5 says you're healed. According to the covenant, you're well. Not because of you're taking medicines, whether or not you're taking medicines or not. I'm not basing my evidence on that. I'm basing the evidence on what your word says, Lord. I believe for everyone here in this room that they'll have sufficient money and supply materially whatever they need for their houses, their homes, to run their vehicles, to buy things that they need to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. God says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So I'm trusting and believing God that everyone here, financially, materially, will have every need met in their home. I'm also believing for their homes to be a home that will be protected from the enemy. I'm believing that every one of their children, their husbands and wives, and everyone who comes within the realm of their home and lives with them will be totally protected. You said that you would cover us with your wings, that no evil shall come near our home and our dwelling. So I'm agreeing with them right now that total health, the presence of Jesus abides in their home. So I'm believing for that. I'm believing that they'll find answers to the restlessness they've had, that you would show them by the Spirit of God, helping them to discern what they need to be doing. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. You're a God of love and mercy. You are so merciful. You're never too early, but you're always on time, and you're never late. So thank you. Thank you for timing. For every person here, the timing of God, that they will make sure that they'll be on time. We dedicate our lives to you. We pray the prayer of dedication, submission. So, Father, we say, Father, my life belongs to you. Everybody say, my life belongs to you. All I have came from you. So I dedicate my life to serve your purpose, your plan, in the name of Jesus. See, I bind all forces that will try to hinder that process of being in the full will of God. I bind Satan and his cohorts. Call them to be ineffective and useless against the will of God for my life. Thank you, Lord. I am saved. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am the healed of the Lord. I am delivered. Because God says, I am delivered. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and praise Him one more time. And by faith, say, thank you, Lord. And we prayed, oh, Lord, thank you.